Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And I am here with Vince Colanese on this Tuesday morning.
Morning.
2018, the big blue wave. I keep saying November 6, 2018, not election day. It's judgment day for this country. We're going to come out and take our nation.
Wow, that's a
the blue wave is coming.
It was liberal radio host Dean Obadiah on MSNBC this week and on Saturday declaring that judgment day is coming. It's going to be a blued bath with the country going blue. Because in 2018, midterms, all this referendum on Donald Trump. So to figure out what exactly is going on here, what's on the agenda and what's ahead for the 2018 midterms, who better to talk to it about than Josh Krauscher from National Journal. Josh, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince.
Happy New Year. Glad to have you. And, you know, so what is the current situation here? Because as I look at the Senate specifically, what is it, like 26 seats the Democrats have to defend, whereas Republicans have to defend just 8? I mean, it's crazy, the imbalance, but yet Democrats are feeling very hopeful about this 2018 midterm.
Yeah, the midterm elections throughout history have always been a referendum on the president. And when you have a president with job approval rating a bit under 40%, it's always going to be a warning sign. And even presidents like Bill Clinton, who had better job approval ratings or had healthier job approval ratings, often see their party lose seats in the House and the Senate just because voters like to have a check on the presidency. Voters like to kind of have a balance between the presidency and the Congress. So Democrats are going to make gains in the House, almost certainly. In the Senate, it's a little more difficult, as you mentioned, because of this map that's very punishing for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have a lot of wild cards on the table in 2018. The economy is growing, and that should benefit President Trump's fortunes. You have the possibility, an outside chance, that you could have a Supreme Court opening in 2018, which could energize the Republican base heading into the midterm elections. And you also have the possible benefit of people seeing the benefits of a tax cut. I've seen some a little more take-home pay as a result of the big tax bill that Republicans
And you've got to wonder if Republicans are going to stay on message on that. I mean, as people get more money in their paychecks, whether or not they're going to be able to make the case compellingly to voters, like, hey, by the way, who's responsible for that? How many Democrats voted for that? Oh, none. How many Republicans voted for all of them? So are they going to be able to successfully make that case? And do you see a strategy beginning to come out, a national strategy beginning to come out of either the RNC or the White House in terms of handling 2018?
As to the second question, I mean, that's probably the biggest concern when you talk to people inside the White House and at the big party committees in Washington. There's a lot of disorganization, and there's not a lot of healthy communication between the congressional campaign committees, the White House political director. There was a big report right before the holidays about a big meeting with a lot of key stakeholders and a left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing, and a lot of anger and angst being expressed during that White House meeting. So that's a lot of the big challenge, especially when you're dealing with a map where you have dozens of House Republicans potentially vulnerable. You have the Senate, which is less likely to flip, but you still have important races in Arizona. You have a race in Nevada. And you also have the specter of outside groups, including involved with connected to Steve Bannon, who might want to upset the apple cart a little bit. Steve Bannon is talking about challenging incumbent Republican senators who've supported Trump in the past and go after them in primaries. And that's the kind of X factor that could put races in normally safe seats, Senate races in safe seats, in play for 2018.
And that has always been the problem, though, with the Republicans. They're awful with messaging. You know, this is just something, this drum that I keep banging because they drive me absolutely crazy. When you've got something like putting money back into people's pockets, they won't capitalize on it. They won't get the message out there, as you were just saying. However, what I see different this time around, and I want to get your feeling on this, is President Trump is a tweeter, and he will put it out there, and he leads by he will lead the messaging. And I want to know, do you think that will be enough to get the rest of the Republicans to fall in line and look at his messaging and follow his lead?
So President Trump and messaging is sort of a blessing and a curse, because he has the biggest megaphone in all in all of politics. He has a bully pulpit from the White House, and he has a Twitter feed that has a couple million followers, if it's not more than that. So he has the ability to really shape his message in a very disciplined way. But, you know, as we've seen in the first year of Trump's presidency, he often is off message. And I don't think he really – I mean, there were some messages that he posted on Twitter about his tax plan, but a lot of that messaging was left to Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, and congressional leaders who aren't as adept with in making the charismatic case for why the tax bill, for example, would benefit a lot of middle-class Americans. So Trump just this morning is out tweeting about the FBI, tweeting about going after Jim Comey. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of start to the new year that a lot of Republicans wanted. So, yes, the Republicans have an opportunity with more disciplined messaging, with a better argument that they made.
Well, I'd point out there's a Republican elected officials who might not want that, but a lot of the base is going to be very happy with the president wanting to go after Comey specifically and other things. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, there is a spread there.
You got to get these swing voters in the suburbs that have often voted Republican that have started to move away from the party. They're up for grabs in the midterms.
So those
are going to be the key voters.
So what's on the schedule now? I mean, as Congress is getting back to work this weekend next, and the president has to deal with a whole bunch of things in January, I mean, the timeline seems very tight before you get into election mode and everyone's running for everything. What's on the agenda? What needs to get done quickly?
So first and foremost, we're going to continue to play the game of kick the can in terms of getting funding for government to operate,
right,
to avoid another government shutdown. That deadline is January 19th. I'm hearing that it's likely that we'll get some kind of compromise, but we may see another temporary measure that just extends the deadline, you know, a couple months down the road.
Do Democrats try and force any immigration issues with this spending deal, or are they done trying to use a government shutdown as a threat there?
You know, Vince, I was really surprised that they sort of backed away from DACA as being part of the end-of-year government compromise. So I actually think that that's going to be dealt with separately. That they actually, I think they're much more focused on getting a permanent extension to this children's government health care fund that's been up for grabs as well. So immigration is something that Democrats have been a little more wary about, because you've got a lot of these red state Democrats up for re-election where immigration isn't quite the same issue that it plays for their base.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you also, we've been talking a lot about Comey. We've been talking a lot about the dossier and the news that came out over the New Year's holiday. Do you see us getting any kind of transparency with this, with finding out about the dossier, finding out whether it was used in the FISA court? Do you see President Trump pushing for some kind of transparency on this?
Well, he certainly is pushing for it, and I think us as citizens, as voters, would love to see as much transparency as possible to know about what led the FBI to make the decisions it made. You know, you saw this New York Times report that suggested over the weekend that a drunken meeting between George Papadopoulos, who was a really low-level advisor on the Trump team during the campaign, was the person who kind of got the ball rolling for the FBI when it came to investigating the Trump campaign. We've seen a lot of people mention, we've seen Carter Page mention in connection with, I think there needs to be a lot more transparency, there needs to be a lot more reporting, there needs to be a lot more openness. And Bob Mueller is investigating this. I think we'll probably find out a lot more as time goes on, but I think it's healthy not to overreact to kind of isolated strands in this investigation, because that, you know, we've already seen reports that have been contradicted or walked back,
right,
as a result of more information coming out.
That's right, including by the same outlets reporting conflicting information. That includes the New York Times in this past week. Okay, well, you know what, Josh Crasher, thanks a lot. We'll check back in with you as 2018 wears along, and we've got to talk to you at some point about 2020 as well, all these Democrats lining up to run against President Trump. But that's for another day. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Vince. Thanks, Mary.
Good day.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.